As we continue our focus throughout 2014, and that focus being on us being committed, 2014, I have asked that it will be the year that each individual and then each individual family focuses on being committed to your Savior, to your God's work, being committed to the point to where you realize within your heart that you have that peace because Christ is committed to you. You know, as a Christian, even if I fall back, stumble, crash dive right into the ditch of life, Christ will remain committed to me. He will remain committed to his salvation of me. In our attendance in God's house, last night I was noticing something as all of the individuals were storming in or no room to sit in one of the stadiums with a football game. And they said even, and I remember the announcer coming on and saying, even with such threat of snow. And I thought, I wonder how many would do that to go hear God's word and support his truth. Listen, folks, being a member of God's house, God's family, God's church is a lot more than just talk. Last week, I talked to about, do you know who you are? You and I must understand who we are, creating a personal ID, a personal identification, looking at that personal identification and saying, I know who I am. Why? And I'll remind you of this all year, so that by the end of 2014, you will be able to tell anybody and everybody when you're asked what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a part of the family of God, his church. So here we go. In case you haven't heard, as an individual, I am broken. As an individual, I look within my own heart and can recognize flaws, but I have no idea what to do with them when you recognize them. When you stand critical of yourself in a positive way, when you are looking at self, once you look at self, do you know what to do with self? So God sent his only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, because he so loved the world that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. So as this flawing human being standing here, this is the me that is human. Over here is the spiritual me. And this spiritual me has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Therefore, the spiritual me joins the physical me. And we make what I am classifying as a master link. A link individual to serve our master. And you will, in this world, serve a master. And if you want to know whether you're serving God as your master or anything else, once again, I remind you, what is foremost on your mind? What is the number one spot on your to-do list? Does God even come into it? Does his word even focus in your heart? Is it so unfocused in your heart that our spirit cannot speak to us to tell us what we need to do? Together, I am an individual Christian. But only when you and I unite together as a church do we truly represent the body of Christ. And how are you going to unite together if you don't show up? How are we going to talk about fighting the war against our great nation, a war that goes against the common ideology or ideology of America today? How are we going to stand close and stand firm if we don't show up? How can we fight a war if the greatest army ever known of all of the world happens to be the army of the United States of America? It's not just the active serving army. It's approximately 100 million Americans that can stand strong as an army of God, as an army to stand for what is right. But how do we stand for what is right if we don't show up? How do we learn the truth of God if we won't listen to His word? How do we know the direction we need to go, not only as an individual Christian, but as a church body, if we don't attend and allow our heart to be filled with the Holy Word of God? I'm not talking about attendance for just attendance sake. I'm talking about attending with power and glory that God has given His holy nation, the power and glory of His church. Oh, one of these days, will you and I once again look upon Christianity in America as truly being the voice of Christ? As the days long gone by, to where the Christian faith has been mocked and scorned, to where now the Christians no longer will stand up in public and announce and pronounce that they are of Christ? Are we living in a generation to where God's physical body on earth has turned to run because we don't know who we are in Christ? And how am I going to know who I am in Christ if I don't unite together with all the other links that make the chain for Christ? A master link. I am a master link because I am a link that's here to serve the master. And I'm here to serve the master according to his calling to me, not according to man's calling to me. And you are the same. My calling is no more important than your calling. My calling is a calling to proclaim the truth of God. Our calling as a church body, united together, is to stand strong and true for the truth that will truly set us free. As a master link, where do you stand with the master? Where do you stand with the master that we claim to represent? Everybody who cries, "Lord, Lord," will not see heaven. Those who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior should never doubt that heaven is the true beginning of life separate from the body. The spiritual you, the real you that's on the inside, the real me that's down here. It's not the persona, it's not the mask that you and I may wear during the day, but it's the truth of who we truly are. So I need to know my identity with Christ in order to understand the importance of my attendance with the other master links. We're working together. We glorify God. Everybody in here has insecurities. All of us have certain insecurities within our life. We don't believe that we can do this as good as somebody else. Well, I got news for you. You can't. You will be able to do what God has called you to do And no one else can do what God has called you to do. Now, you are an individual called by God, a master link, that is commanded by God to unite together in His fellowship called the church. And as one body, we will speak out, "Hear, old Israel, the Lord thy God is one." The spirit that is in one Christian is the same spirit in another Christian. When I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I did not accept a foreign God. I accept the true God, as any other Christian would do. But I too, many insecurities. Oh, what am I going to do? Do you know, looking back at my insecurities of life, I found out something. I couldn't do anything about them. Because an insecurity feeling is just that. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. Moses had trouble with he was insecure in a lot of areas of his life. Now, when we're listening to the biblical story, it doesn't seem like this great man of God known as Moses, the great deliverer of the Hebrew nation from bondage in Egypt, would have any insecurities at all. He had a big one. One of the biggest ones he had was, "I don't want to do this, God." Listen, folks, when you are looking at a burning bush, which was not uncommon in this day, but the bushes would burn. What was uncommon about the bush? It never burned up. It just continued to burn. And when you've been talking face to face with God, and God is showing you His power in fire, you're going to feel insecure. When you say, "Moses, take off your sandals, for the ground on which you walk is holy ground." And Moses did so. But I want you to listen to the back and forth of God in dealing with Moses. Because this is the back and forth that you and I have went through with God. How do I know that? Because you're a human being. And here's what was going on. Exodus 3, verses 9 and 10. God is speaking, and God says, "And now the cry of Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God says, "Go, Moses." And many times when we're telling the story, we'll say, "And Moses went, and Moses did this." Well, he went, but it wasn't that easy for him. Listen to Exodus 3:11 as Moses speaks back to God. "Well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Now, here's a great lesson for us as Christians. It has nothing to do with who I am, has nothing to do with who you are. Look at Exodus 3:12. God comes back to him and says, "I will be with you." Moses said, "Who am I?" Good question, Moses. It's who I am, though, that matters as you go to lead them out. "I will be with you." Moses, you don't have to do it. All you have to do is show up and show me the faith that you believe my word, and I will do it through you. Do you realize the great blessing that you and I have as Christians? Are we not well fed? Do we not have a house and a home for our family to stay in? Do we not have it in the United States of America better than any other nation ever in history since time? We do. What have we done with it? Because God says, I have created you in time. And then we dare, you dare, I dare to tell God that, well, I don't have time to do this today. You know, God can fix it where you have a whole lot of time on your hands. God can talk to our heart and we back off from His truth. We will learn His truth with a lesson that we will accept, or you will learn His truth with a lesson we wish we didn't have to have. What's the excuse for not showing up in God's house? Well, just better things to do. Really? When the Lord comes again, are you going to say, well, Lord, I got better things to do right now than to show up for the rapture? Lord, what's going to happen when you hear the voice come back and say, oh, don't worry, I didn't come for you. I want you to think, I am a Christian not in my doing, not on anything that I can ever do. I am a Christian because of what Jesus did and continues to do in my life. He went to the cross for me. He gave all He is for me as an individual, for you as an individual. And I would dare have trouble showing up? Do we realize the sin of our day and age is not the sin of the world, but the sin of God's church? And God speaks out. He will call His servants to speak loud and clear about the great sin of America. The greatest nation ever known, because of who Christ is, not because of who we are as a people, other than we were God's people. And we back away from the truth because it's just not convenient. It's just not convenient for me to join other Christians, Lord. Did Jesus ever tell you it wasn't convenient to Him for your salvation? When we pray to Him and ask Him about the blessings and the healing of our friends and family who are ill, do you hear the voice of God in your ear that says, I just don't have time right now. I've got other things on my mind. Wonder whose mind has the most in it, God or me or you or all of us combined? God says, Moses, I will be with you. See, that's all I need to know. Jesus said, I will be with you. Did He not say, not only will I be with you, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you? Because you're my kid. Show up. Stand up. Or shut up. Any. Don't condemn fellow Christians because of what they're doing. We need to look at our own heart and see what we are not doing. Because I can do because of what Jesus did. I can take the message because Jesus brought the messenger to us, His Son. Listen to Exodus 40, second part of verse 10. Moses comes back to God and said, Lord, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. Then God in Exodus 4:12 says, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. If I'm going to be taught, do I not need to be in the presence of the teacher? Do I not need to stand up and be in the presence of the teacher? And should I not listen? In my personal identification as a master link for Christ, I cannot let my insecurities the areas of my life where I see myself weak. I cannot allow that to interfere with the Word of God. And I guarantee you, God will not allow it. I, in Exodus 4:12, listen again. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Exodus 4:13, Moses comes back again. Pardon your servant, Lord. This is the Message version. Pardon your servant, Lord, but please send someone else. You and I have had the touch of the Master's hand. Now, there are reasons for our feelings of insecurity. Many reasons. One of the bigger reasons is we just don't want to do it. That's a big reason. I have my freedom of choice. I'm American. American born. I have my freedom of choice. Really? Try not to pay your taxes this year and see what happens. Walk in the closest police station. Walk in. Walk straight up to the toughest looking officer. And then slap him right upside the head. And see what happens. Do we not do worse to the blood of Christ? As teachers, as preachers, do we not put the blood of Christ under our feet every time we refuse to pronounce His word to the world, and He's given us that charge to do so? Do we understand that? Do we not understand that you and I have got to deal with our insecurities just long enough to hand them to God? Now, there are three causes and three solutions that I've worked up here to our insecurities. Cause number one is rejection. We're insecure because we're afraid if we make a mistake, we're going to be rejected. If we make a mistake, we will be rejected. You know what is... You've been rejected in life on many areas, haven't you? If you've lived long enough, you have. I always hated it when we would choose up for baseball or softball, you know, pitch a bat and do all of that bit. Because I knew that I would never be picked for either team. Now, I could let my feelings be hurt, or I could realize the reason I was never picked is because I couldn't catch the ball. I could not play either well, or even at all. So I would have an insecure feeling as a kid. You can't do this. God tells me to take that rejection that I have been given by man, and you turn it into acceptance by God. Now, God has not called me to play softball or baseball or any other sport, but He called me to preach. And He said, the ball's in your hand. You take the ball of life that I give you, you throw it, you dribble it, you do whatever you need to do, and I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Here is your solution to rejection. Change your thinking. Change your thinking about rejection. Listen to Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Change my way of thinking. Now, listen to Psalm 8:3 through 5. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? human beings that you should care for them. Yet, you made them only a little lower than angels. Actually, the Hebrew in that says, you've only made us a little lower than God. And crowned them with glory and honor. We have been crowned with glory and honor by who Jesus is in us, not who we are of ourselves, but who Jesus is. So to be rejected by the world because I stand for Jesus or you stand for Jesus, change your thinking. To be rejected by the world because you're a Christian is to be accepted by Christ because you'll stand up. But you can't stand up for Christ if we do not show up to learn His word and His truth. And churches throughout America continue to close their doors. It's not because of the word of God being preached. It's because the power of God within the church has been breached. Breached by the world. For we will accept the portion of God's truth in our heart, but we want the biggest part to be that of the world. And God sees, and He looks at His church, and He walks with us, and He talks with us. We can sing it all day long, but if it's not real for us, we will not listen. And God said, I will send the prophets. I will send my servants to preach, to proclaim the truth of who I am and who you can be with me. And we are told in Scripture, many they will kill. Others will be imprisoned. Why? Because they find the word of Almighty God distasteful in their society. Are we not today living in a society that has rejected Christ from one end to the other? If we do not watch it, and I say it again, with a heart so burdened, we know that one day, Babylon, O Babylon, the great whore against God, will rise. Is the greatest nation that's ever been known become the Babylon, the whore? Has America, who's been given it all so often, strength, courage, the greatest of everything, and we turn our back on who Jesus is, and our children cannot even take a Bible into the classroom for fear that someone will be offended and they will be expelled. America is founded on the word of God, and it will be the army of God that will bring us back to that strength. I am not called by God to go fight. I fought in the Marine Corps, as many in this church were in battle. God called me to stand, and He would do the fighting. God says, I want you as a master link, each one, to stand for the master. Don't you dare call yourself a Christian and not stand for Christ. For God sees from heaven. And what does He see? Does He see a nation so caught up in the pleasures of life that we have turned our back on the reality of eternal life? Second cause is criticism. I just don't want to be criticized. Well, good gracious, you're going to be criticized. You're never going to get it right for people. And you see, God is the only one who looks at us and lets us know you're a human being. You can't get it right. But I've sent my Son who has already made it right. and you lift him up above all of the things that you've placed before him, and you will see a change in your family, in your individual life, in your church, in your community, and in the rest of the United States of America. I have heard ever since I can remember the Great Commission of the Baptists going out and us reaching out, the Great Commission. If we had been following the Great Commission of Jesus, how come so many churches are closing their door? How come that Christ is not respected in a community? I hear many, Gandhi said, give me your Christ, but you keep your Christians. Christ. Do we reflect Jesus or do we reflect self to the world? Do you blame the world for not coming in the house of God when they're told they have to look a certain way, act a certain way? How about whoever you are, won't you come? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever calls on him will be saved. We will be saved. We'll never perish. Here's the solution to criticism. Embrace your uniqueness. Folks, I know about all of you personally. You're unique, right? How many times have your loved ones told you there's nobody like you on earth? Oh, God broke the mold when he had you. Actually, God broke the mold when he had every individual Christian. At no point throughout the history of life will you see two individuals just alike in every aspect. You won't find it. Think of this. Since snow ever began to fall, there has never been a snowflake that could be matched with another one. That's unique. But we are unique as individual Christians. That's what God says. I'm going to take this unique master link, and I'm going to join this unique master link to the chain, my church. And this unique master link will do what I've called him to do. They'll do what I've called her to do. And each one working together will form the body, the true picture of who Jesus is. People said, I want to know what Jesus looked like. Can't you read the history to see what he truly looked like? Was it long hair? Was it short hair? How did he truly look? He looks just like the church. A multiplicity of personalities. A look that when we're joined together, the body of Christ is formed by people on earth. Well, I want to know if it's okay for me to wear long hair. I want to know if it's okay for me to wear short hair. I want to know, so that's why I want to know what Jesus looked like. Well, how about just listening to what Jesus says to us? One day we will see him face to face. And he'll look like no one you could ever think of, and so will you. You know, we will be perfect. So accept the criticism as a uniqueness for who you are. Psalm 139:13. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Folks, many times I've told you all, my mother said I was the ugliest baby she ever saw in her life. But I was still a child of God. Ugly as I might be, God chose and knit me together. And he knit me together for a purpose. That purpose is to stand up for his truth no matter what it takes. To teach his word to the master links so we can be strong until the weakest link is strong enough to move the mountains of life as we put our strength together in Christ. We truly become His church. Your last is very common for each of us. We get insecure because we're compared. Parents, don't do this. Don't compare one of your kids to another child. You can't do that. Don't compare what's going on in your life to somebody else's life. You can't do that. You're unique. Your problems are unique. Well, you know, I just need to go to somebody to find out what I need to do. Well, I'm somebody, and as your pastor, I'm telling you, you are a unique individual. You're an individual that needs to back off when people start comparing you to others. And you are such a unique individual, you need to trust your Creator. You're not going to please other people. Oh, you'll please sometimes. And then all of a sudden you'll get up and say something and they'll say, oh, I don't like you anymore. Well, I got news for you. I serve a God that loves me. You serve a God that sent His only begotten Son to show us how much He truly loves us. Isaiah 64, verse 8. Oh Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We all are formed by Your hand. Individually. And God says, I'll take care of everything for you. Just show up. Do we show up? Realizing that God's going to take care of everything for us. Let me remind you of something. When you said yes to Jesus Christ, when we became a family of God, we became the family that you will not see in most families anymore. We are to become the family of believers that unite together with love, lifting one another up. Don't you dare ever go out and talk about another Christian. Don't do that. For when you speak ill of another Christian, you speak ill of the Christ that saved them. What we do is we look at ourselves as a unique individual dealing with the hardships of life to show up so that God can bless us with so much that we won't be able to contain it. It'll overflow to the point that even the unrighteous will be blessed by the righteous. You're not going to show them the blessing by sitting on a bar stool beside of them. You're not going to show them the power of God when you or I run away from the battle God has called us to. And we're called as a church. As a church, I am commanded by God to stand up as a part of the body of Christ. And He will do the convicting. We are unique. We belong to God. What else would we ever want? Because it doesn't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, once again we lift our heart to You, knowing, dear Lord God, that brokenness is all around us. Each day, Father, we will deal with the trials and tribulations of life and those we love. But Father, we ask for mercy and ask for Your peace. Remind us, Father, on a daily basis, of the commitment that each of us needs to make for Your kingdom. Let Your will be done in all that we do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.